96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I have accomplished so many things. I feel like I want to change my life around. It took a while for me to get where I needed to be, but by being in this program, it made me feel more empowered by myself, becoming a strong black queen.
That is the voice of an incarcerated woman who graduated from a unique educational program this week at the D.C. jail. It's called the Howard University Inside Out Program, designed for inmates to teach them about the criminal justice system. Howard University students also participate in this unusual education effort. Well, tonight we're talking about the Inside Out program with the program director, Dr. Bahia Muhammad. She is also an assistant professor of sociology and criminology here at Howard University. Also in studio with us tonight, Quincy Booth, director of the D.C. Department of Corrections. If you have a question or a comment about tonight's topic, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Muhammad, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. Quincy Booth, good to see you, too. Appreciate you coming in.
Good to see you as well. It's an honor to be here.
Dr. Muhammad, talk to me about why you started this Howard University Inside Out program. What was the genesis of it?
I think it's very important to shepherd in social services as it relates to energizing minority serving institutions. I was trained in Inside Out in 2007. And during the time I was a doctoral candidate, I was attending Rutgers University School of Criminal Justice. And when I went to the training, it was almost like a culture shock. Going into the training, a lot of the individual faculty members who were there did not look like me and did not have the same walk of life that I did. And I remember thinking that this is a program that I would love to see exposed to more minority individuals, individuals from across the African diaspora, you know, so to speak, individuals from the Caribbean and, you know, all different walks of life. And so for me, as I navigated through my doctoral program, this training that I did in 2007 really resonated with me and motivated me to continue so that I could teach at an HBCU and bring a model like this into the arms and hands and minds of the brightest of minorities across the nation. And so that was what I was interested in doing coming here to Howard.
Give me a thumbnail sketch of what the program is specifically. Everybody covered it this week. TV stations, locally and regionally, the newspapers, everyone was there, but I don't think people got a full understanding of what the program is about.
Inside Out is about having a conversation with two different sides of the coin as it relates to the criminal justice system. It's the classes that you would typically teach on any college campus anywhere in the world. The difference is that it happens inside of a correctional institution, be it a halfway house, be it a jail, be it a prison. Half of the students are incarcerated. The other half are matriculated at a university. You have a syllabus that governs the structure of the class like you would on campus, but individuals are required to go through metal detectors, to go through the reality of what it is to enter a criminal justice system. And once inside, you're reading the same readings, being graded on the same assignments, and being able to engage in dialect or dialogue on a level where it's a balanced playing field.
Mm-hmm. Quincy, what is the benefit for the inmates that are participating in this program?
So for the scholars that we have within our facilities, because that's what we like to call them,
okay,
specifically the ones that are in Dr. Muhammad's experience, the benefit is exposure. Oftentimes, men and women have not been exposed to college campuses and universities and or students from around the country, in some cases around the world. So it's an opportunity, one, for them to have an opportunity to speak to people that they probably would have never had a conversation with. Two, to connect with Dr. Muhammad. And many people have said, and I can say it firsthand, it is an experience because it's the easiest way I can say it, Mr. Fisher, is that it's experience of the world. There's so many facets that she brings in. That's a sense of the community that oftentimes the men and women that we have in our care only see a small part of the community. And so they leave out day by day, not wanting to leave or not wanting Dr. Muhammad or the students to leave, because they're encouraged to now know there's something different that they can do with their life, or they have the ability to do college level work. And oftentimes that is something that they've either doubted themselves or they didn't have kind of that courage to be able to say, I can do this kind of work.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Inside Out educational program. There was a graduation ceremony just this week at the DC jail. Fascinating educational opportunity, not just for the incarcerated scholars, but also for the Howard University students who are also participating in this. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that one of the more notable participants, Nick Cannon, entertainer, and also Howard University student, was the MC for that program. What kind of student is he, Doc? No, that's another conversation. We will talk about that.
Okay, because I said I'm ready. I'm ready. It's been a couple of years now.
but you know, all jokes aside, it was wonderful to have him participate in that, and I'm sure that the scholars and everyone else appreciated it. But when you're talking about educating the people that are on the inside, what are they learning specifically? Talk to me about the syllabus.
This particular course, in conjunction with Nick Cannon, really looked at this concept of art and justice. So really looking at the ways that individuals utilize their voices in order to push forth for social justice, or utilize their silence, or holding back their dollars, so to speak, in order to push for social rights, civil rights, and to be seen as a human. In this class, we started off with literature that talks about the origins of the arts and how slaves during enslavement have utilized hymns and songs as a way to connect with one another. We moved on into rap and different genres in order to really get an understanding of the importance of narrative, but also in a very unstructured kind of way. And so Nick was able to provide those concepts as it relates to that component of it. For me, it was all academic, peer review articles that look at the importance of narrative, looking at mass incarceration unapologetically in a way that looks at the collateral consequences to the family members. What is your grandmother feeling? What are your children feeling? What is the reality of what's going on? And forcing individuals within the class to really look within and dig out and put that on paper, and not only on paper, but in a performance.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Inside Out educational program that there was a graduation earlier this week at the D.C. jail. I wanted to ask, now, Quincy, we often hear when we're talking about mass incarceration of African-Americans, well, this is D.C. Got a whole lot of African-Americans here. And a whole lot of them in the D.C. jail. Not a lot of white folks there. You're a black man, okay? So some could even say that constantly repeated discussion points at the Quincy Booths of the world and the D.C. jails of the world. After seeing this program move through, what impact does it have on you, not just as an administrator, but also as a black man?
So as a black man, I actually never want to see people come into my care. Not particularly people of color, but I would have to be honest with you. When I go in there and I see people that look just like me, it pains me. Living in Ward 8 and living in a community where a lot of our men and women come from, I believe that they should be back in their communities. And so for me, which is extremely inspiring about this program, is that our goal, which is many, is to keep people safe and secure. One. right? But two, it's an opportunity for them never to come back. And if we can really do effective programming in the form of education to address their needs, because that's the one thing Dr. Muhammad mentioned a little bit earlier, and she and her team have been extremely a blessing to us. And this has not been the first year. It's been a total of 3 years that we've had this relationship and partnership. Education is the catalyst for many things. And so we do believe that this program helps us in a way so that they don't come back. And so as you stated, majority of them look like me as an African-American man, right? But we also have to look at their families. We also have to look at their children. And so if we can, as my grandmother would say, nip it in the bud now, right? Nipping it in the bud means that they're not coming back. Nipping it in the bud is they understand what they need mentally, physically, financially, and they can move forward, as well as the key ingredient is that oftentimes they have families and they have children. And so if they can get all the tools that they need, or we can help them, because we're not here to fix them, we're here to say, how can we help you so that you can go back into society much better than you came in?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Danielle. Danielle calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Danielle. What's on your mind?
I was telling a young lady, you know, I'm 31 years old. I went to Jacksonville State University, not at HBCU, but I'm glad this program has happened for them, because I was glad that I got to, I heard someone mention, you know, having that college experience, you know, it really does further your insight. And really, I'll say for me as a Black woman, within the last 10 years, I've been, you know, really getting into myself, finding my roots. It even went natural. You know, for us as African-Americans, it's really great when we find ourselves. And, you know, that's all I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for that. I think ultimately one of the things that's significant about bringing a program like this to a HBCU is that you get to see yourself within individuals. It's very important that we begin to love ourselves. And that's one of the concepts that we start off in the classes like this, really that self-reflection inside of jail. And Director Booth, you can, you know, kind of chime in and let me know. But there's no mirrors, you know, so to speak. So classes like this that allow you to look within and project out are very important.
That coupled with one of the things that Dr. Muhammad and I applaud her for doing this, she not only comes to this work with love and compassion, but she also brings the love that she loves beyond anything, which is her family, oftentimes with her and her husband. And so the men have an opportunity to see what true love and true partnership is that helps them along the way, because they can see that you all can work professionally in this space as well as personally. And so those are additional benefits that we're able to see. So beyond just the mirror of seeing themselves, they also see what a healthy relationship actually looks like as well.
Yeah, and I think that's important.
Who is your husband? Because he's not here. So.
He is here. He is here, sir. We laugh because he's standing in the studio recording.
You know what? Okay, for our listeners who obviously cannot see, there is a very good looking brother standing next to me,
yes,
with a video camera.
Someone's smiling from ear to ear
right now.
Dr. Yeah. And well, both of them.
And let me say that he has a beard, for those of you who are in the beard game. So, you know, what's your name, brother?
Montaquin.
Montaquin, did I get that right?
Yes, Montaquin.
Montaquin, thank you. Well, thank you so much for being here and supporting Dr. Muhammad and, you know, the secret squirrel thing that's going on. But as I said, and I'll ask again, as it relates to the participation in this program, who is your husband with Inside Out? How is he demonstrating what Quincy was just suggesting?
I think it's very important for family. So everything I do, all of my research, all of my pedagogy, all of my prophecies start with family. I was homeschooled, so it was always my mother, my father. I always was able to see 9 brothers and sisters, all of us going into Brooklyn and Harlem with these stores that we had. My husband is a documentarian on everything that I work on. When you see me on Vice of HBO, soul, that's him, that's connected. I want the world to see my story from a side of love. And one of the things that I've always done in all of the correctional systems that I've gone in is to expose my family to it. My husband and I have been together since 10th grade in high school. This is my high school sweetheart. He's known me before PhD, after PhD, and I feel like ultimately, as an assistant professor, being on a tenure track, love is important. It was important through the PhD program. It's gotten me through everything. And ultimately, I want individuals that are incarcerated to see that and to understand that there are different mechanisms and dynamics of it, but also to feel it, to feel what it feels like to see.
I want to talk a little bit more about that as well as this program in just a bit, but I need to take a break. If you have a question or a comment about the Inside Out program, we've spoken about the scholars that are incarcerated. I also want to talk about the other side, the students. Who are they? So we're going to have that conversation on the other side of this break. So give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Moving forward, I think that this is a great program. I think that it should be expanded in the community, and it gives a sense of community is responsibility. I like that the fact that the Inside Out program brings college students with those that are incarcerated and kind of build on a relationship to show the ones that's incarcerated that you can also achieve things greater.
That is another one of the incarcerated scholars at the unique educational program at the DC jail, that graduation occurring just this week. The Inside Out program designed for inmates to teach them about the criminal justice system. We're continuing our conversation about that tonight. My guests are the Inside Out program director, Dr. Bahia Muhammad. She is also an assistant professor of sociology and criminology here at Howard University. Also Quincy Booth, director of the DC Department of Corrections. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking about some of the other, one could say, intangible things that the scholars were learning, the understanding a close, loving relationship just by osmosis. What about the students? Who are the students that are participating in the program, and how are they participating?
It's a mix. We have graduate students, undergraduate students who participate, and individuals navigate from all across the campus. So we have individuals from School of Divinity, individuals from the law school, students who are studying for social work, biologists, individuals from the Howard Hospital. So it really is an elective all across the board. You never know what you're going to get, who you're going to get, what major. The students navigate in from the word on the streets, you know, who's talking about what professors, what's going on at Howard, what sort of class is going to keep you awake, what's going to keep you energized.
Or keep you woke.
Or keep you all the way woke.
Yeah. I couldn't resist that.
Right. We'll keep you woke.
Right.
You get a lot of different students that kind of navigate into this particular experience. There is an application process. So out of an application of maybe 150 students, I'm only able to take 15 per class. So the class is definitely hot commodity. They have to fill out a personal statement. They have to get letters of recommendation. They do interviews with myself as well as an Inside Out panel, which includes formerly incarcerated individuals. And then ultimately, I make the final decision on who will navigate into the class. And what I'm looking for are undergrads. I'm looking for, you know, sophomores, juniors, seniors. I want a diverse mix, interested in individuals from different countries across the African diaspora, but also individuals who are immigrants and are coming from not having that American citizenship a nice balance between males and females. And so you kind of get it, a nice mix. Yes.
And it's a beautiful mix because also we interview the scholars and the residents that we have in our care to partner with the multiple classes. And it's multiple classes that's going on a Wednesday. So it's not just one, but I'll just reflect on one that we have, a Young Men Emerging, which is a new program that we have at DOC, which is between 18 to 25, because that's really when the brain is developing and forming. And so we feel like we have an opportunity to really do some amazing work. And Dr. Muhammad and the students, it's very eye-opening to see the students in the beginning, as well as at the end, because you can see the growth and development, as well as I remember my days in school, and I can't tell you if I remember the people that was to the left or to the right. And here, there's a sense of community that happens on the inside and out, where people are relating in ways of not just the text, right, but really understanding each other in a different way. Oftentimes, men of color have been seen a certain way, and in reflection oftentimes, and Dr. Muhammad, correct me if I'm wrong, specifically the men in our care, they generally have a negative stigma attached to them. And it's beautiful at the end where people can talk about and say, you know what, I thought you were one way, but at the end of the day, you're just like me. You're like my mother. You're like my brother. You're like my father. And I want to connect with you in a way. And they really do try to, like, they become one family at the end of the day. And so as we were at the graduation, you could just feel like everybody knew everybody, including our master of ceremony. Literally, he knew everyone that was there, and he's been there for the last 2 years. And so I'll stop right there. And Dr. Muhammad,
yeah, I think you have it dead on. I mean, ultimately, when we come in, to be honest, there's anger and frustration. You know, you're talking about a population of individuals where it's in their families. You're talking about minorities. You're talking about HBCU. So at the end of the day, it's kind of this concept of, do I really want to take this class? Because I'm going to see these brothers that possibly are my brother. Or, you know, this was a guy I used to date and he was in and out of the system. You know, I'm going to go in there with this chip on my shoulder or this attitude. And then as it relates to incarcerated individuals, sometimes there's this concept of, oh, are you coming into research? When they clearly see and identify that these stories are almost identical in nature, it builds this bond that's just like, we need to do this together. How can we do this together?
And one of the things that they often do more of is that oftentimes some of the students that are alumni, as it relates to the Inside Out at Howard, they then come back, because I know Howard is all about service, right? Mm-hmm. But they come back and serve in a way, or whether they're becoming tutors or whether they're becoming mentors or whether they're just coming in far as religious services, because they see this is an opportunity for me to give back, because I want to stay connected and go back to the piece that you were talking about, as far as people of color being in this space.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gerald calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Gerald. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have experience in, I was a volunteer where I would go to D.C. jail and Lorton and help students there with reading. I've gone back as far as 1990, where my boxing team, we used to go to Occoquan and go box some of the inmates. And that's how I got interested in seeing these people of color in there for the wrong thing. Okay. I want to give back now. I will soon be going to Howard, finishing up my degree in Spanish and finishing up my degree in finance. But I wanted to know if you have any volunteer positions for people that really want to give back to this community. And if so, could you give me some insight on that?
Absolutely. In my model, which is, you know, pretty much different, the Inside Out program has a kind of cookie cutter approach where faculty members are required to follow along a curriculum. And for me, I've kind of finessed it, you know what I mean, a little bit with the Dr. Muhammad experience. And so I incorporate community members. Every class that I teach, half of the individuals are incarcerated, half of the individuals are students, and 10%, which equals about 3 individuals, are community members. And I specifically am looking for faculty members, looking for alumni to come in and help engage in the conversation and ultimately help in the reentry process, because that's a big, big, big piece. Individuals will be released. The doors of the prison are revolving, and so those going in will be coming out. And so one of the ways that you can get involved is to send me an email. I'm always interested in entrepreneurship, interested in different business business models and how I could solidify this model to engage individuals when they immediately have that first step out of the door, and especially someone that's in academia and going back to get these degrees. I think that would definitely be beneficial.
How can anyone, including Gerald, reach you via email? And by the way, any information that we've shared this evening, as always, will be on WHUR.com on our website a little bit after 8:30. But please, Dr. Muhammad, go right ahead.
I'm on Twitter, Dr. B. Muhammad 1. The best way to get me is Instagram. Inbox me at Dr. Muhammad underscore experience. Old-fashioned email also works, but do remember that I have more than 250 students per semester, so it may take me at least 24 hours to get back to you, and that is bahia.muhammad@howard.edu. Everything is public information. So if you Google Inside Out Howard University, my information comes up.
Okay, and Gerald, as I said, that information will be on our website. Go right ahead.
And as well at DOC, at dcdoc.gov, or you can Google DCDOC. We also have volunteer opportunities. The piece that I would just say that we're really encouraged, we appreciate volunteers, but consistency is key, specifically with the men and women that we have in our care. Don't just pop up. I'm not saying you are, but that's one thing that we have as our prerequisite when people come and volunteer with us.
Well, Gerald, thank you so much for giving us a call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We've spoken a lot generally and specifically about men, but in the beginning of the program, we heard from one of the young women who was a graduate of the program. Talk to me a little bit about the women in the program and how they are receiving and benefiting from it.
So women are extremely special, as all of the folks that we have in our care are special, but research has shown, both that we have as well as that you can look at nationally, oftentimes women are not connected with families because they're often the breadwinners of their families. And so when they then leave, this is it. And so you can look at the comparison of the amount of visitors that men receive compared to women. And so this program is beyond what's needed because this is a constant phase with both the outside and the inside people benefiting from this in a amazing way, because part of the reentry process is being connected to community. And so when they then see, you know, the males receiving all of the love and then they're not receiving any per se, this is something that's extremely beneficial to them. Even at the program, we saw majority of the people that were there to support the men graduating. Mm-hmm. But for the females, there were several families. But I am thankful and appreciative to the DC DOC family, because oftentimes when those cases happen, we will stand in proxy as a family as well to make sure that we support, because this is about ensuring that people feel loved and feel connected, because at the core, that is what's needed in order for men and women to be successful.
And well, to that point, Dr. Muhammad, okay, you're telegenic, you're intelligent, you are the heart of this program, if I may. So when you have the conversations with the female scholars, the women scholars, what do they talk to you about during the course of this program?
Everything. Everything is laid on the table. When you have a class that's taught by a black female coming in to engage with black females from an HBCU, so it's a perspective that most individuals shy away from, you basically get everything from the gut and up. Individuals talk about being victimized when they were very, very young, what led them into the system, their dreams, their aspirations, their loved ones. You learn about children and everything that you would talk to your grandma, to your mother, to your sister, to your best friend. The class that we had this semester was Mass Incarceration and the Black Family. It was a graduate course, and it was so deep. Oh, the readings talked about Jane Crow and lynching and, you know, the disrespect and the disregard to the black woman, to the black body, and starting from the place of enslavement and moving beyond. And then it went to a place of resiliency. So we talk about those aspirations. We cry together. We have something that we call a cipher. So when we come in, individuals sit around a circle. I have a different piece that I may play. It could be Cardi B one day. It may go to Lauryn Hill. It could go to Beyonce. I mean, it could go to Aretha Franklin. So, you know, we throwing in a whole lot of different things to dig in deep and allow them to come out and speak. And it kind of starts with this, you know, regurgitating whatever's in your stomach. Mm-hmm. Bring it up from the gut level and put it out. And then I tie it into the literature and into the research. I kind of open them all the way up. Take out all of that negative stuff, throw in some goodness, zip it up, and close it back up and send them back there on those units. And that works for the inside and the outside students. On the particular unit this year, we had a male graduate student, and it was a very, very interesting dynamic to be able to have that voice and that perspective. And Nick also came on that particular unit and has shared in and sat in and audited that particular course. You get to hear any and everything. And the most important thing that resonates with me is the resilience within the women. And this year, one of the things that resonated was the soul. And having, you know, the soul, as W.B. Du Bois talks about the soul of black folk, we talk about the soul of the black woman, and what that really means, and how their presence is so important in the community. And how you want to give it that best, you know, foot forward, and how you parent from behind the bars. My area of expertise is children of incarcerated parents. So I go in with, you know, the kids on one shoulder, another kid on the other, two kids on, you know, the legs, and basically saying, like, look, y'all, we got to get this together because we don't have time to play.
Fascinating. I need to take a break. When we come back, more about the Inside Out program at the D.C. jail. And if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation tonight about the Inside Out program, an educational program at the D.C. jail that incorporates not only the incarcerated scholars, but also Howard University students. You mentioned something earlier about returning citizens when we were talking to the caller about volunteering and the like. What impact, and this is for both of you, but I'll start with Dr. Muhammad. What impact do you believe that this kind of education will have on those scholars when they get out?
Ultimately, it happens immediately, which is an interesting concept. Most people think about the class and think, oh, well, you know, what's going to happen when you get out? Early on, you start to see that individuals start to communicate with their families different through mail, call, and visits as a result of the class. Being able to communicate and project your voice and know your narrative also means that now you're communicating completely different. There are a couple of times where there were individuals whose children contacted me during the parents' incarceration to say, hey, I'm interested in applying to Howard. I wasn't interested in a university, but my dad told me about it, and I'm wondering how I could go about doing that. So even before they reenter into the community, they're engaging and sharing their excitement about these courses and classes with their families. Also, there was an individual in the class on the female unit who had a daughter that was in school, and they had a competition. She said, I'm going to Howard. And she was saying, well, I'm at Rutgers. And, well, what grade you going to get? Because I'm getting an A on all my papers. So there's a different dialogue. You start to see that the children that are connected to incarcerated individuals are no longer informants, so to speak. So during a call saying, oh, I saw daddy doing this, and this is what's going on into the community, to a more educational conversation, which you see on college dorms and in college campuses. When individuals are released, there are a nice handful of individuals that call me within the first 24 hours. When I come back to the university, I have four or five different messages from individuals saying, Doc, you said that I could finish this on the outside. I'm home. I'm at the halfway house. I'll be cleared up in 2 weeks. Where can I come to sit in on a class? Mm-hmm. There are a couple of students that applied to UDC and were accepted. So it goes as far as reducing that pipeline and going from prison to school pipeline, which brings it 180 degrees.
So Dr. Muhammad has really encouraged us in many ways. And I would say she is family, and we truly love her in an amazing way. What you stated earlier about the Inside Out program, which is around education, we at the department did a revamping on some of the work that we were doing. And so in the field of education, we were offering GED. Of course, we had the partnership with Howard, but it just encouraged the team to say, what can we do more, right? And so year to date, we have expanded our work. And so we now, as opposed to just having GED in the program here, we now have college to career readiness. And so at the end of the day, we have the partnership with majority of the universities, Howard being the first one, as well as UDC, as well as Georgetown, and also with Ashland, because we believe that education, again, is the change agent that people often need. When you think about when we were growing up, the one thing that our parents continuously said to us was, what college are you going to? It wasn't, are you going? It's what college are you going to? And the exposure of college level space changes the conversation mentally for people to say, the more exposure that I have, not just around, whether if it is English or if it is just a lecture series, it's, I now know how I can access information to change the conversation in my life. And so we have invested a lot just in that space, and we're gradually seeing the dividends of that, where again, unfortunately, people have come to us and said, you've helped me fulfill a dream, both in Dr. Muhammad's class as well as all the other universities that I mentioned, where they have stated, I'm now a college student. And so for us, it's like we didn't think about it when we were doing it. But if that's what's going to get us to get our scholars to go from reoffending to now going into society, whether if it's applying to, again, UDC and doing extremely well, whether if they're getting an associate all the way up to, at the other day when we were in Dr. Muhammad's class, individuals said, I'm getting a PhD. And so they know the importance of education and how it can help them in their lives, because historically we've talked about programs, but programs aren't really a universal language. However, education is, as it relates to this work.
We have to remember that we are talking about something that is happening within the confines of a jail. And with all of that said, jail still has, you know, many of the things that a lot of people don't want to think about. But with that said, what impact do you believe, Quincy, has this had on the culture within your system? Has it changed it at all, even a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's changed it in a ways of the individual and the way that they think, as well as even the men and women that we have that's a part of the team, far as the officers and the staff. And so I've also, with the partnership of not just offering the partnership that we have with the universities that I mentioned, but I've also, we're gradually rolling that out for the staff as well, separate and apart, to say, how do we enhance and how do we create a curriculum, you know, for them? Because my belief is the more that you can deposit into people, and when I'm saying people, I'm saying both the residents that we have, as course, as well as the DOC staff and family, the better outcomes that you actually can receive.
What, after this, what, 3 years, 4 years, Dr. Muhammad? Yeah.
Going on 10. We're going to keep it pushing. So.
What has surprised you most about this effort?
The fearlessness of the D.C. DOC. When I come up with these ideas, and I pitch it, there's a listening ear and it's fearlessness. That's rare. I've been doing this work for a long time. And a lot of the times the voice is not even necessarily heard. And I don't think it's conscious. I think it's a unconscious thing that happens. You know, we know what's best. It's about security. It's about safety. But the DC DOC, to my surprise over the years, have been very fearless in their ability to listen and clearly operationalize a way forward, even if it's just one step. That's surprising when I hear all of the stories from other individuals across the nation. I also think there's a difference, let's be honest, with bringing minority students into Department of Corrections as opposed to non-minority students. A lot of the classes and things that I was working in and shepherding in students were non-minorities, and there were a lot of things that you could not do with minority students being able to come in. The DC jail has been very accommodating with the diversity that our university offers, being able to engage with faculty and staff as well. It's definitely surprising when you come up with this idea of, you know, incarcerated individuals during a closing ceremony having dashikis, and that being something that's acceptable, something you've never seen anywhere, not even in Norway, where they're innovative and kind of creative. But recognizing the importance of building this community from inside and out. So this isn't just something that happens on the inside. I also attended a ceremony just yesterday outside on the grounds of CDF and CTF.
CDF, CTF.
Correctional Detention Facility and Correctional Treatment Facility.
Told you she's staff.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's been way too long. And it felt good to be honored to get that commitment. So there's a volunteer component. There's an inside component. There's an outside component. But also Director Booth and I could sit down and have a conversation about celebrating our birthdays or what we want to do with our lives. And so absolutely, that feels good.
Well, so and I think that what Dr. Muhammad stated, and this is the part that we try to empower and allow others to see, this is our jail far as our when we understand from a community standpoint, our far as everybody. And so the more that we can open it up and expose things, of course, in a safe and secure way, right? But we can't hide behind safe and secure. We want to provide what men and women will receive in the community, both inside as well as out.
Do you have a vision for this program beyond this week's graduation? How might you make it even more interesting, progressive, growing? What's your vision?
I envision utilizing the full D.C. Department of Corrections to create, just like we have at Howard, we have Howard West, and we partnered with Google. I would like to see the Howard University have a D.C. campus where we take over, so to speak, a full unit, the young men emerging, so to speak. And anytime the D.C. DOC has a need, they come to me, and I outsource that to our professionals. For example, psychological counseling. We have the best and the brightest minorities on campus conducting groundbreaking research, going to them first and saying, what is it that needs to happen and who from this team will go into this unit in order to take over whatever services they need. So a la carte, really creating a ground up, a grassroots curriculum for incarcerated individuals. I also see this being something like a pipeline where individuals will be able to come in illiterate. And I work with community organizations, the Divine Nine, being able to go in and have step shows so individuals aren't fighting, but they're using this mechanism of stepping to be able to build their muscles and their strength. I see the full Howard University inside of the DC jail and everything that's offered at Howard being able to be offered there so that we can retard the system.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And just building on to what Dr. Muhammad stated, so right now it's not for credit, and the goal is ideally, and of course it's a lot of work that we have to do, to gradually get it for credit as well too, because if that transition actually occurs, they will continue and that continuity will be there. So they were a student inside, and then it's truly being a student outside as well too.
Well, as we know, particularly as it relates to the HBCU experience, not all credits are on your transcript. And so you can write that one down.
Be honest.
Dr. Muhammad, I've got about a minute left. I'll let you have the last word, your thoughts about just this week.
This week was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, 2001, I buried my mother, the love of my life. And ultimately, the last trip that I had prior to her passing was in South Africa. All I was seeing was dashikis. All I was seeing was African print. And the way that I superseded suicidal thoughts was from the strength of the motherland. Being able to walk into the gym that day and to see the incarcerated individuals in dashikis and to see their children fearless and wanting to hug and kiss on them in ways that you don't necessarily get to do in an inmate, quote unquote, uniform was absolutely phenomenal. And it almost brought my mother back to life for me for that day.
Well, let us hope that this program continues to bring life to not only those incarcerated scholars, but certainly the students that participate in the program. Quincy Booth and Dr. Bahia Muhammad, thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And as I said, always, the information will be posted on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight, so you can get your fill of this program if you didn't hear all of it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 27th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Aran Walter and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University Radio Network is W.